Okay, Mr. Roper, well, what's your full name?
Norman Arthur Roper.
And presumably you're retired now, what was your occupation?
You'll find in here, but my occupation was going to be pharmacist, because my father was a pharmacist with his own business. And you'll find that when I left secondary school, I went to college in London for the matriculation.
All right.
Because there wasn't A-levels then, to study, to go into pharmacy. And I lived in Old Kent Road, London, and 1940 we were bombed out completely. So the college shut down, everything shut down. And because I went to a technical school and I did metalwork, woodwork and technical drawing in addition to normal subjects, I got a job right away as a junior draftsman in Tottenham Court Road, London.
Right.
And we were bombed out in 1940 and we all split up, and I went to Wokingham and got a job in an aircraft factory. So occupation wise, I was going to be a pharmacist. Because of fate and the war, I didn't.
Right.
And I started in engineering, and when I came back, control of labour was on. So my brother managed to get a rent a house in Chislehurst, and you had to go to the labour exchange in those days, and I was waiting for call up, and they offered me a choice of either Woolwich Arsenal, which was all hush hush, they didn't know, or that place up there. So I went to that place up there, which was about 3 miles away, which was a large school taken over by the Ministry of Defence. So I started there as a junior draftsman, and I did 41 years with the Ministry of Defence.
Wow.
And I started as a junior draftsman, and I ended up as the chief draftsman.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I mean, it was fate.
Yeah.
Not what I wanted to do, but as it happened, I met my wife at work, and there we are. And it turned out well, and I saw the sort of stuff I did up there, the engineering for the army and the forces and the services, bomb disposal, bridges, bridge layers, Bailey Bridge, all that sort of stuff.
And can I ask your date of birth?
14/7/23.
And
87, old age.
Right. Oh, you've just, happy birthday, you've just had a birthday.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah.
Congratulations. And where were you born and where did you live as a child?
East Ham, London.
And that's where you grew up as
East Ham, London. And when I was two, as far as I know, my father took his business in Old Kent Road.
Oh, right.
522 Old Kent Road, London, SE1.
Okay, and you've said your father was a pharmacist?
He was a pharmacist.
And did your mother work
at all? My mother worked and helped in the shop, serving and everything.
Right.
And everything was going well. I was at... the first school I went to was Miss Salmon's kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
Reading and writing, and we had slates.
Wow. And was that was before sort of primary?
Yeah,
how old were you then in the kindergarten?
Well, I should imagine about 4 or 5.
And did you do any history there at all?
I can't honestly remember. I think because it was so early, we were beginning to read and write mainly.
Yeah, yeah. And where did you go after Miss Salmon?
I went to Marlborough Road Primary School.
Right.
And all I can remember about that really is a hazy memory of aquariums, cleaning them out, milk monitors, mixing up red and blue powder for inkwells.
Right.
And I can't really remember about history or any other lesson.
Right.
And then when I was 1935, I think it was. Oops. I went to Bermondsey Central Technical School.
Okay, so that's when you were 11, was it?
Yeah. Which was LCC school.
Right, and did you have to take an exam to go there?
No. We just went there. It's just you followed on.
Right.
And it was two buildings. One was lady girls, one was met of boys. And the boys' side was divided. Still working.
Yeah, just checking.
The boys' side was divided into two, technical and clerical.
Oh, okay.
I went on the technical side, and you all did the basic about 12 subjects. But on the technical side, you did technical drawing, woodwork, metalwork. Whereas on the commercial side, you did bookkeeping, shorthand, and commercial type. And at 4:30 at night, you could swap over. You could go from technical over the other side. And look, I went over the other side and did bookkeeping and typing.
Oh, right. So you stayed on at school till 6 o'clock or something?
We've done it, yeah. And that's how it went.
Yeah.
And we had assembly every morning with the headmaster. Punishment was lines, detention. And really bad, you had the cane.
Yeah.
And you had a form master who stayed with you as you went through, and each form master took a different subject, obviously. And our particular one was the history master.
Oh, right.
And it was all very formal. As far as I remember, you had blackboards which slid up one behind the other.
Right.
And I don't know how, but he would enter all sorts of notes and things on it before you started, and then he'd pull the ball down, and there it was.
Oh, right.
And he went through, as I was in my exercise book, through the years and years and years, very formal. I mean, I learned a tremendous amount, obviously, and you had homework, which he called homework, you had to do, and get these illustrations out of books and write. And then in addition, pardon me, in addition, you had current affairs. Mm-hmm. And you had to read a broadsheet newspaper.
Right.
And you had to write up a diary every week of events. And I can remember now writing up, you know, King Zog of Albania and all sorts of...
And did you do that, broadsheet all the way through? Or was that when you were older?
Yeah. And I got pictures and writer Neville Chamberlain coming back from Munich, piecing out time. And I put some stuff for sale in the local auction and I sold that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wish I hadn't now. You could have had it. But and I mean, looking through it, had all sorts of historical things, you know, happened up until the war.
And did the school buy the newspapers, or did you have to get them yourself?
We had to get them yourself.
Oh, very good.
Well, as far as I remember, it must have been. I mean, my father used to get the Daily Express.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought. And so you started off, right, as your book that you've got there shows, right at the very beginning of prehistory. Yeah.
And all the years we were there. And it a natural sequence of, I mean, right at the very beginning, to be honest, you didn't know what it was about, the Phoenicians and up, and Egyptians and right the way up. And then, as you progress to more modernist times, it was quite, I mean, though history was taught that way, geography was taught very similarly. And with geography, you did country by country, and they had a roller which, when you rolled it over the page, printed a map.
Oh, right.
And you had to fill the map in with all the countries and the cities and capitals, and that was your homework task.
Right. And the history master used that as well, or?
Well, the history master did it. You had to do maps, but he didn't have a roller to print them. You had to do them yourself.
Oh, right. So he didn't use any kind of duplicator.
No. And
so you had to go out and get your own
pictures. You had to go out and get your own books, cut them up, and look up down the local library, because there was no television. Mm. There was hardly any radios. I mean, it's a different world.
So you never had school radio programmes at your school at all?
Not that I can remember, no. I mean, I can remember my father building a crystal set.
Oh, right.
And then we had the first first radio he built, and I had to go and get accumulators down the local shop. And all I can remember about programmes In Town Tonight and things like that.
Oh, right, okay.
So, I mean, there weren't any facilities like that.
No, nothing
at your
school.
You had to do it all yourself. And you had tasks to do, as I say. And when you got to perhaps Battle of Hastings or something, you had to go and ferret stuff out from the library and then buy these books, which I think were Woolworths, and they were just black and white, cut them out and colour them in and present them as homework.
Right. So the teacher didn't give you any textbooks or anything?
Not that I can remember.
Right.
Possibly. But I don't remember any, not now.
Right, okay. And did you ever go out on trips with the school, you know, to museums or anything?
The only museum we went to was Ornemann's Museum at Dulwich. But we used to occasionally go to, I think it was called People's Palace in Mile End, mm-hmm. and see Shakespeare plays. I can remember Merchant of Venice and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And we also used to have a school holiday, school journey. We used to go to Swanage or somewhere.
Right, but nothing very historical, really. No.
And also, I mean, living in London, I mean, other than, shall we say, Tower of London, and what historical was there?
Yes, true. And did you like your history at school? Did you enjoy it?
Well, I enjoyed every lesson. I mean, I suppose I was an academic. I was always second or third in the form. Mm-hmm. Big head.
And the actual lessons, so the teacher would, how would it work? He'd have these notes written up on the board when you went in.
Yeah, he'd pull the board down and he'd formally went through what he was teaching.
Oh, okay, so he'd have the notes and then he'd talk to them.
Yeah, and he would formally go through it. And then he'd set you a task while he came round with last week's homework and hand it back to you with comments.
Okay, so he'd actually go from person to person and talk to you.
And then he would resume the lesson and so on and so on.
Mm.
But it was I mean, we didn't dislike any of the teachers, but they were quite strict, and you formed an affinity with them. I mean, I can remember him, he used to have a blue suit and a stiff collar and bowler hat, you know, and though you respected him, I mean, you played a few pranks, like putting newspaper bits in or confetti in his umbrella, you know, at times. And going back to the geography master, he was an ex-rugby international player, and he was also the PE teacher.
Oh, right.
And if you misbehaved, I mean, he was a big man, he put you in the corner with his bulk over you and gave you a formal lecture.
And did you stay on at school after 14? You did you?
I left. I gave you the certificate. 15 years, was it?
But did you?
You can take these away with you.
Okay, look at them. All right, so you left 15 years, 3 months.
Yeah.
So you didn't do, you didn't do school certificate, or did you at school?
No, I left, and I mean, we were, looking back, I suppose we were fairly affluent. I mean, my father had a car, probably the first car.
Oh, yeah.
I was the only child in the school with a car. And he sent me to the University College in London, Red Lion Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I kept all this rubbish.
The University Tutorial College, right. Oh, okay.
And I did Heat, Light and Sound, maths. I didn't do history.
Right, so really you gave up history when you were 15.
Ready for the matric.
Yeah, so you didn't ever do anything at the school certificate at all. Right, okay. And
And I was there, and on that I was doing the...
At the tutorial college.
1940 matriculation.
Oh, right, and that's
in
when...
In five subjects.
Right.
And okay. Then we were bombed out in that autumn.
That's right, you said, and you had...
And it all split up.
Yes, yeah.
And I went one way, and my brother went another way, and I ended up in a cottage in Wokingham with electricity downstairs and only all lamps upstairs.
Oh, right. And when you were at school, did you think the history was taught well?
Well, I suppose I had nothing to judge it by, really. No. They were all taught well, I think.
Yes, and you remember a lot, obviously.
Oh, I remember a tremendous amount about it. But when you look at the school reports, I mean, scripture, English, maths, science, history, geography, art, physical, French, architecture, shorthand, typing, that's the commercial paper.
Oh, fantastic.
And when I went on...
You got very good for history.
Yeah, and... And I was third in the class, and I was always interested in science, best result in the school.
Fantastic, yes.
See, this is when we started technical drawing.
Very good, and history very good, has shown improvement. It's very good.
But I mean, so long ago, I mean, you can't really remember. All I can remember, the format of the lesson.
Yes.
And I mean, I've always been interested in anything really, and fortunately, I suppose I've had an inquiry. I always do crosswords and competitions, and having 21 years with the residents, you find out a lot of history. And also, I still do fundraising for the local surgery,
right?
And I do a 2-monthly quiz. Sometimes it can be history, sometimes it can be this, sometimes it can be that.
Yeah. And do you think the history that you were taught at school helped you to feel proud of being British in any way?
Funny question. I mean, I've always been British. I was born British. My parents were British. My relatives fought in the war.
Yeah, actually, almost everybody of your age I've interviewed has said exactly the same. It was something you just took for granted.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you respected things. I mean, I went to the coronation as a...
Yes.
I can remember the coronation, sitting in the mall. I mean, first of all, there was very little radio. There was no television. You weren't swamped by ideas or Americanism or immigrants. And you lived a totally different life.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it made you proud or not, you just accepted it. I mean, looking back now, I suppose I've got quite a wide knowledge of history, I can remember on that, and it helps you when you read books.
Mm.
It helps you competition, and I read a lot of naval books and all sorts of things. And also, working for the Ministry of Defence all these years, I mean, we were involved in Falklands and all sorts of things. So I suppose though I wasn't in the army, it was like being in the army.
Yeah, yes.
And I used to sell, I mean, what I find aggravating now, I sold bridges to foreigners, went to Hawley Lake Aldershot, demonstrating what they call air portable bridges, to the Iraqis.
Mm.
And we used to go up the mess for lunch, and the Iraqis' uniform was identical to the British, and they'd been trained at Sandhurst, and they were fighting them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's most disappointing, all this.
Yep. Now, this question here about whether you've done any more sort of history since you left school, well, obviously you read a lot about history, you were just telling me.
And also, I mean, with the Ministry of Defence, I mean, we were involved with the Falklands.
Yes, yeah.
And other things, Cyprus, and all these little skirmishes that went on. And also, we spent a lot of time, I suppose, history, getting the equipment ready for Ireland when we had all the troubles Ireland.
Yes.
So, I mean, there was a depot up near Stratford-upon-Avon, which re-equipped everything. They were working 7 days a week, equipping stuff which had been to Ireland and been destroyed.
Mm.
That history?
Well, you were part of history. Yes, creating history. But just on your leisure, do you do history? Do you ever watch television programmes about history?
Oh, yeah, I saw it once, yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly some of the more recent years that have been put out. And also the Dimbleby programmes.
Oh, yes.
They're very, very good.
Yes. And are you in the National Trust or English Heritage?
No, I'm
not. You're not interested in those. And is there anything else that you think would be useful for us to know that I haven't asked you about yet?
I don't know, really. I went through that thing there. Anything
we haven't covered there that you...
I mean, another thing at school, we have prayers every morning. Is that, I mean, you're not allowed to now, are you?
I
suppose, really.
I think it's more pressure of time. They usually have assemblies of some sort, but maybe once a week now, yes.
I mean, you say, are you proud to be British? I suppose you were. You had your prayers, you had this, that and the other. And more or less hear what it's been saying.
Yeah, no, I think it's been very interesting.
Well, I don't know. It's just life, isn't it? I mean, unfortunately, because I've always been interested, and I mean, I can't sit down and do nothing. I mean, I traced my family tree. I've got it.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. So you have done that, have you?
Yeah, I've traced my family tree way back as far as I could go.
So have you done that using the computer, or have you used record offices?
I haven't got a computer because when I was working, we were all computerised. And when I retired, I didn't feel the need, but I've got two sons, one in Southampton, one at Ringwood, and my daughter, as we've mentioned, down at Brixham. And my son at Ringwood's got his own business which deals with computers. And my son at Southampton's also got a computer. And we've got the local library.
Right, so you don't
need... So there's no need.
Yeah.
So instead of paying broadband every month, you can go and use it for free.
That's very good. But is that how you did the research?
No,
music? Or did you go to all the record offices and things?
No, I suppose I don't do any research, not really.
But to trace your family tree?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Partly by that, partly by visiting churches and looking at records.
Oh, very good, yeah. And how far back did you go?
I can't remember, so excuse me. I can't remember if I still got it. Yeah, it is. How far back is that? Not far. Can't remember now, so long ago.
Oh, right, so you did it a while back.
1772.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Mary Haywood, Frances Gerlin.
Very good.
Innkeeper, King's Head, 88 Key Street, Halesworth, died 1842, fell in the sandpit.
Oh, God, ghastly.
Compositor, mariner, 1881, Benjamin. Now, there was any use.
Very good. No, it's very interesting that you've done it all. That's great. Well, if there's nothing else you think that's particularly relevant, we might stop there, but that's very interesting. And thank you very much indeed for taking the time. And unfortunately, we can't see them on the tape, but there are some wonderful... It's a wonderful history book from your 4 years... being taught history, going right through all history, which would be great.
Same as what we've been talking about. You can take that with you.
Thanks.
If you don't want it, throw it away.
I might just stop that there now.